Hey, kitten.
We're starting chapter 16 of Harry Potter and the Half-Blood Prince, called A Very Frosty Christmas. So Snape was offering to help him. He was definitely offering to help him. If you ask that once more, Harry said, I'm going to stick the sprout. I'm only checking, said Ron. They were standing alone at the Burrow's kitchen sink, peeling a mountain of sprouts for Mrs. Weasley. Snow was drifting past the window in front of them. Yes, Snape was offering to help him, said Harry. He said he'd promised Malfoy's mother to protect him, that he'd made an unbreakable oath or something. An unbreakable vow? Said Ron, looking stunned. Nah, he can't have. Are you sure? Yes, I'm sure, said Harry. Why, what does it mean? Well, you can't break an unbreakable vow. I'd work that much out for myself, funnily enough. What happens if you break it, then? You die, Ron said simply. Fred and George tried to get me to make one when I was about 5. I nearly did, too. I was holding hands with Fred and everything when Dad found us. He went mental, said Ron, with a reminiscent gleam in his eyes. Only time I've ever seen Dad as angry as Mum. Fred reckons his left buttock has never been the same since. Yeah, well, passing over Fred's left buttock. Beg your pardon, said Fred's voice as the twins entered the kitchen. Ah, George, look at this. They've been using knives and everything. Bless them. I'll be 17 in 2 and a bit months' time, said Ron grumpily, and then they'll be able to do it by magic. But meanwhile, said George, sitting down at the kitchen table and putting his feet up on it, we can enjoy watching you demonstrate the correct use of a whoopsie-daisy. You made me do that, said Ron angrily, sucking his cut thumb. You wait when I'm 17. I'm sure you'll dazzle us all with hitherto unsuspected magical skills, yawned Fred. And speaking of hitherto unsuspected skills, Ronald, said George, what is this we hear from Ginny about you and a young lady called, unless our information is faulty, Lavender Brown? Ron turned a little pink, but did not look displeased as he turned his back to his sprouts. Mind your own business. What a snappy retort, said Fred. I really don't know how you think of them. Now, what we wanted to know was, how did it happen? What do you mean? Did she have an accident or something? What? Well, how did she sustain such extensive brain damage? Careful now. Mrs. Weasley entered the room just in time to see Ron throw a sprout knife at Fred, who turned it into a paper airplane with one lazy flick of his wand. Ron, she said furiously, don't you ever let me see you throw knives again. I won't, said Ron. Let you see, he added under his breath, as he turned back to the sprout mountain. Fred, George, I'm sorry, dears, but Remus is arriving tonight, so Bill will have to squeeze in with you two. No problem, said George. Then Charlie isn't coming home, that just leaves Harry and Ron in the attic. And if Fleur shares with Ginny, that'll make Ginny's Christmas, muttered Fred. Everyone should be comfortable. Well, anyway, they'll have a bed, said Mrs. Weasley, sounding slightly harassed. Percy definitely not showing his ugly face, then? Asked Fred. Mrs. Weasley turned away before she answered. No, he's busy, I expect, with the ministry. Or he's the world's biggest prat, said Fred, as Mrs. Weasley left the kitchen. One of the two. Let's get going, then, George. What are you two up to? Asked Ron. Can't you just help with these sprouts? You could use your wand, and then we'd be free, too. No, I don't think we can do that, said Fred seriously. It's very character-building stuff, learning to peel sprouts without magic. Makes you appreciate how difficult it is for muggles and squibs. And if you want people to help you, Ron, added George, throwing the paper airplane at him. I wouldn't chuck knives at them, just a little hint. We're off to the village. There's a very pretty girl working at the paper shop who thinks my card tricks are something marvelous, almost like real magic. Git, said Ron darkly, watching Fred and George setting off across the snowy yard. Would have taken 10 seconds, and we could have gone too. I couldn't, said Harry. I promised Dumbledore I wouldn't wander off while I'm staying here. Oh, yeah, said Ron. He peeled a few more sprouts and then said, are you going to tell Dumbledore what you heard Snape and Malfoy saying to each other? Yep, said Harry. I'm going to tell anyone who can put a stop to it, and Dumbledore's top of my list. I might have another word with your dad, too. Pity you didn't hear what Malfoy's actually doing, though. I couldn't have done, could I? That was the whole point. He was refusing to tell Snape. There was silence for a moment or two, and then Ron said, of course, you know what they'll all say, Dad and Dumbledore and all of them. They'll say Snape isn't really trying to help Malfoy, he's just trying to find out what Malfoy's up to. They didn't hear him, said Harry flatly. No one's that good of an actor, not even Snape. Yeah, I'm just saying, though, said Ron. Harry turned to face him, frowning. You think I'm right, though? Yeah, I do, said Ron hastily. Seriously, I do. But they're all convinced Snape's in the Order, aren't they? Harry said nothing. It had already occurred to him that this would be the most likely objection to this new evidence. He could hear Hermione now. Obviously, Harry, he was pretending to offer help so he could trick Malfoy into telling him what he's doing. That was pure imagination, however, as he had no opportunity to tell Hermione what he had overheard. She had disappeared from Slughorn's party before he returned to it, or had so been informed by an irate McLagan, and she had already gone to bed by the time he had returned to the common room. As he and Ron had left for the Burr early next morning, he barely had time to wish her a happy Christmas and tell her that he had some very important news when they get back from the holidays. He was not entirely sure she had heard him, though. Ron and Lavender had been saying a thoroughly nonverbal goodbye just behind him at the time. Still, even Hermione would not be able to deny one thing. Malfoy was definitely up to something, and Snape knew it. So Harry felt justified in saying, "I told you so," which he had done several times to Ron already. I think we'll stop there. It's bedtime for the puppy and kitten. I hope you like that, my sweet darling girl. Sweet dreams. I love you so much. Good night.